Hello, and welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. I'm Mario Rossi. Today, we're talking about the way things used to be, but still are, and hopefully will be. Confused yet? Before we begin, be sure to check out urban-plains.com for all the latest stories. And now, it's time to listen up. Picture yourself, if you will, in a 1989 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. Worn tires, speakers that sound like crumpled pop cans. Well, for me, this situation is reality. But for you, the question remains. How am I going to play my tunes? The answer is in a technology developed in the 1930s. Cassette tapes might be associated with previous decades, but many bands now are turning to them as a creative and artistic way to get their music out there. You might say that one man's trash is another man's treasure.
We just ordered the tapes wholesale, and we have to, like, put tape on the outside of them so we can record on them. And then we just have our own, like, duplication system that Jake has, our drummer. And then we dumpster dive for all of the cassette cases for our first release that we put out.
That's just one of the aspects that make cassette tapes appealing. It's a step back from digital downloads, MP3s, and even YouTube. You'd think the only way bands can get their music heard is to put it online, but many are sticking to just tapes. Why? Megan Flynn talked to Edward Bigner of Worker Bee Records, who believes it's all about feelings.
Part of it is just people don't want to be on CD because the CD is the plastic that MP3's on. You rip it and you forget about it. They want some kind of a physical format that they can hold on to, look at the cover, so like liner notes and things like that. It's just a more physical format. That plus it's more intimate. A lot of people have feelings about cassettes one way or the other. They either vehemently love it or hate it.
It's not an easy trade-off, physical tapes instead of invisible music. Producers like Bigner have to physically order, if not rummage around in the trash, for tapes and tape cases. Bigner even resorts to buying cassette tapes from record shops solely for the cases. So, is this a trend or something more? Well, even though musicians are unique individuals, it's worth noting that many bands only want to publish music on physical copies like cassettes.
Basically, it was kept alive by music geeks who were going to Goodwill and buying a big armful of old cassettes because it was cheaper than buying it on CD or record. Pretty much everybody's still wanting cassette. There's a bunch of little things that keep coming up every year, like, oh, you're going to be able to record vinyl directly off your computer by USB, and never came around. It's like, yeah, they have prototypes, but they can't get it cheap enough for a home market. It's just with the continued death of CDs, most people would rather have something like this that has a download code in it than a CD, because all they're going to do is throw the CD in the corner anyways. At least there's some interest in the physical packaging of a cassette.
It's really raw. I guess it reflects the idea of the sound. We make a lot more than the idea of the CD, because the CD is more the idea of digital, as opposed to the idea of just, and I guess digital to me relates more to like the idea of like EDM and like electronic music and like modern pop and stuff.
While producers and musicians use tapes as a cost-effective way to put out music, consumers love the nostalgia that tapes bring. That's something ZZZ Records owner Nate Neiswanger has seen firsthand.
It's kind of that nostalgia, like, hey, I remember buying Culture Club on cassette tape in the 1980s.
It's a novel concept. Bank on people's emotions, because they'll always have the urge to hold something physical in their hands. But if there's something for tape fanatics to keep in mind, it's that playing tapes might not be so easy down the road.
What we're finding is that a lot of tape players made in the 80s aren't always working as well as they used to, and getting them fixed can be a challenge, because let's say you buy a tape player for $5 at a garage sale and you bring it into a repair shop and they go, yeah, we can fix it, but it's going to be $75. Well, you're probably going to go, nah, that's okay. So I think there's going to be a day where there aren't nearly as many working tape players as there used to be.
If I wanted to celebrate the year 1978 with music, I'd order a copy of the Village People's Macho Man from eBay for $10. plus shipping from Australia, because that's the only place I can find it. If I wanted to take a more practical walk back to the 70s, I'd walk into a Family Video store.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Founded in 1978 in Glenview, Illinois, this type of physical movie rental store seems like it should be extinct. In January of 2014, we said RIP to Blockbuster, but at the same time, Family Video was thriving. As the saying goes, you can never put all your eggs in one basket. District Manager Aaron Boosinger takes great pride in his company, investing in out-of-the-box, or rather, out-of-the-store ideas.
See a need, fill a need. Our most recent company is exactly that. We started a company called the Device Clinics, and we repair phone screens and tablet screens. If you go into Verizon or Sprint, any phone dealership with a cracked screen, they're not going to try and repair it. They want you to buy a new phone. So instead of spending $500 on a new phone, you can repair your old one for $50. So that's a perfect example of, okay, there's a need. Let's see if we can fill it. There's someone out there that will want that. Marco's Pizza, pizza in a movie. We're going to have those moving into all of our stores.
The problem with viewing Family Video as a store ready to be extinct is that you neglect everything going on outside the walls of a store. Legacy Properties, a real estate company started by Family Video, rents out space to businesses where their video stores don't currently exist. For the locations where Family Video does have stores, having the parent real estate company pays huge dividends.
Our real estate business would be our number two business. And that helps us drive our video business because we don't pay rent, we don't pay lease. We own this product. This building, we own it. We can do whatever we want. If we decide to carve, 2,000 square feet out and have another business come in, whether it's a Family Video business and we run that, or it's another business that pays us rent.
With over 54 million members belonging to Netflix alone, you're probably thinking it's time to pop a tub of popcorn and pull up a chair as the Family Video empire slowly crumbles to the ground. But you'd be wrong. In fact, as you cozy up to binge watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt from the comfort of your couch, you may just be a Family Video consumer yet.
We have a fiber optic business. So, 5 and 10 years, we can be competing with Mediacom, where we're doing your cable, internet, and phone service, and we can be streaming movies to your phone, too. And that's something, the long-term vision that we see, too. The video stores are still going to be around.
Sarah, how can you help?
While the name has video in it, Family Video is slowly becoming a more well-rounded company, not just a place to check out the latest Hollywood flick. If the way companies deliver movies has changed, why can't a company that deliver movies change for the better? The future of Family Video doesn't depend on what new techniques in movie delivery emerge, but on what customers say their competitors lack. A great selection of movies and games, as well as a friendly face.
The staff knows me pretty well, so it's often I'm in here. Every now and then, they come up with some good ideas for games I should try. Yeah, they know what they're talking about.
When they first come out, Redbox doesn't. We've run into a lot of times, I have a 12-year-old, he wants a certain movie and Redbox never has it. The selection's pretty slim.
The customer experience is a reflection of the earnest efforts from employees and managers alike.
I have a few regular customers who come in. I get to geek out with them about what movies they like. Sometimes they want just a B-horror movie film, or they want to talk about the Oscar winners. I mean, it really is anything under the sun.
And they can't offer that face-to-face interaction. We're still going to be around.
Still going to be around. It's a phrase that digital movie outlets and big city producers hate to hear about the creations of yesteryear. And Family Video does a great job filling in the gaps that the digital age can't seem to reach.
I go into the Redbox website usually and check and see if they have it, and if they don't, then I come look here. I really like having this store here because I can find all these older movies.
Like any good business model, people are the focus. For Family Video, store employees offer one-on-one interactions with customers, while outside the store, investments are being made for the future of the company. In terms of cassette tapes, people have always wanted the satisfaction of holding something in their hand. Two old-school ways of doing things, both dedicated to providing something physical that consumers can hold. And if down the road we forget the ways of cassette tapes and video rental stores, it won't be because the product doesn't have value. It will be because there's something else people are drawn to. And for all we know, those new things could soon become old. Old but new, a fun blend of the past and the present. It's the nostalgia that comes with wandering through the aisles of video and finding an old favorite or a new flick. The memories that rush back with the sound of a cassette tape. To learn more about these diehard technologies, visit urban-planes.com. Megan Flynn and Rachel Collins explore why cassettes aren't dead, while Stephanie Koser digs deeper into the success of family video in beating the digital age. You can also be our friend or follower by checking us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Search Urban Planes to keep updated with all the latest and greatest stories from the Midwest. Special thanks to reporters Stephanie Koser, Megan Flynn, and Rachel Collins, audio from Karen Meat and the Players, and producers Grace Wenzel, Amanda Horvath, and Annalise Tarnowski. Until next time, I'm Mario Rossi. This has been Listen Up.